exploring growth, dynamism, and economic change in Texas, northern Louisiana, and southern New Mexico. This is a Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas's Southwest Economy podcast. Drawn from the Dallas Fed Southwest Economy, senior economist Pia Arrhenius dives into what's new and noteworthy. Now, here's Pia.
Hello, and welcome to the Southwest Economy podcast. I'm here today with Jesse Thompson, who is senior business economist in the Houston branch of the Dallas Fed. He recently published an article in Southwest Economy titled "State Output Remains Distinctly Texan While Jobs Mix Increasingly Resembles the U.S." Jesse, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Pia.
Sure. So we're curious to hear more about this article that you published. Can you describe what's the bottom line there? Economically, does the state remain unique? And then in what ways has it become more like the rest of the country over time?
It depends on what you're looking at. In the article, you know, I talk about payroll and industry employment. And this is the how we classify what industry people's jobs are in. But you could also look at output. And so this is like GDP and what is the output that Texas firms are generating. And when you look at the mix there, when you say, for example, with jobs, we look much more like the U.S. than we used to. But with output, the state remains distinct. So the stuff that we make here, the GDP that we generate remains relatively distinct.
And what is the biggest difference for the different type of output?
Well, the big driver, of course, is hydrocarbons. Texas's role as a global leader in the production of crude oil, natural gas liquids, and its role as a leader in refining and petrochemical and machinery manufacturing, and of course, exports of all of the above are a distinctly Texan feature of our economy.
It's interesting, Jesse, these similarity indexes that you talk about in your article. Can you describe, like, how do you construct these similarity indexes? What was required and what methodology did you use?
So this is all done with payroll data, jobs data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and with GDP data from the Bureau of Economic Analysis. You can get all of this data from government websites. And with all this data from the government, you can say, take the jobs data and you can break it up by industry. And when you calculate these similarity indexes, you can see, well, where our jobs are located by industry, we look a lot more like the U.S. But then when you say some of these industries like oil and gas have a very high value added in their output. So they generate a lot of GDP. And so when you look at the composition of our GDP, when you separate it out by industry, you can wind up with a very different diversification index or a very different similarity index in the state versus the nation.
Becoming more similar to the nation, should I look at that as being a good thing or should I look at it as being a bad thing? How should I think about it?
It's neither good nor bad, but generally speaking, if you are more similar to the U.S. in terms of employment or in terms of output, then your experience of the business cycle is likely to be more like the rest of the U.S. So when you look at, say, for example, in the state of Texas, as our similarity indexes have looked more like the rest of the United States, the cyclicality of our business cycles in the, at the local level, the experience in local cities and metros and in the state overall have been less volatile over time. And so if you're more like the U.S., that you can see that as a benefit. On the other hand, you know, if you are highly concentrated in, say, one to three industries, when the U.S. to the U.S. is maybe not doing well, and though if those industries are doing well, then you don't experience a severe recession. And so you can have a very different experience of business cycles at the local level versus the national level, depending on how similar your industry and output mix is.
So what you're saying makes me think back to the 1980s. I wasn't in Texas yet, but can you talk to us what happened in the 1980s and how does that figure into the change over time in your similarity indexes and in particular what happened in Houston?
When you look back at the 1980s, I think the great case in point is Houston. The metro was decimated by what was essentially a four-year oil bust at a time when the national economy was doing relatively well. One in seven jobs were lost over that time frame, and oil and gas output entered into a long period of decline. And so the contribution to both to employment mix and to output from the in the state really changed over that time frame as the oil industry was just not having a good time. And so as those employees and as those many of those firms that used to work in oil and gas began finding work elsewhere, we had the rise of professional business services. And so the state came out of that, really diversifying into the 90s, we had a very strong push from the mid 80s all the way through the 90s towards being more like the rest of the U.S. in terms of our input, in terms of our payroll job mix and our output mix.
Then somehow that was reversed, because you were talking about now we're big in oil and gas again, so our output is dissimilar, even though our employment composition is kind of similar. So what happened between the late 1990s and now?
So the big thing that happened was shale. When the shale revolution hit, you know, the ability to go into a new resource that was inaccessible before, but the technology evolved, that brought new life into the oil and gas industry in Texas. We really began to see the benefits during the Great Recession, and it accelerated rapidly through the mid-20-teens. And then the Permian Basin, you know, remains to this day, the output growth has been phenomenal. And so when you look at the contribution to growing oil and gas production, that shale gave us, and what it did to even our employment mix, it moved the state away from the national mix. It made us less similar to the nation overall than we were prior. But still, the state had grown so much and the state had diversified so much that even the shale revolution didn't put us back of the same plane that we were in the 70s and 80s. The Texas remains, although still distinctly Texan, still unique compared to the rest of the country, we remain far more diversified, far more similar to the broader economy than we used to be.
Jesse, there was one other boom during this period of time, which I thought you could talk about, which is in the article, the high-tech surge. And a lot of that was concentrated, I guess some of it in Dallas, also Austin, of course. Can you talk about what happened with the high-tech surge and how did that move the needle? Did that make us more like the nation or less like the nation?
Excellent question. You talk about how different metros can experience things differently. You know, you look at, say, Austin and its experience with the high-tech boom in the 80s, where you had companies like Dell Computers, like Texas Instruments. You had the really doing well and rising. You had the rise of computer manufacturing and high-tech manufacturing in Texas. We had the so-called Silicon Hills and the Silicon Prairie in Austin and Fort Worth. You know, the high-tech, that boom in computer manufacturing really diversified the state and made it less like the U.S. overall and made those metros less like the U.S. overall over that period from the early 80s into up until the dot-com bust at the end of the 1990s.
So, Jesse, it's interesting reading your article just to see, you know, how the Texas economy in terms of output, we became we started off being very different from the nation, and then we became more similar, and now we've become different again because of the shale boom, the shale oil boom, and the fracking boom, sometimes it's referred to as. And then on the employment side, you know, we're very similar to the U.S. So it seems, you know, the significance of this is that business cycles are going to respond to the composition of our regional economy. So I'm curious, you know, it used to be, and you talked about the 1980s, so there was a huge oil and gas bust. It changed this state forever, and the district forever, I should say. But then we had another oil and gas bust, and that was in 2015, 2016, and it was a severe decline in oil and gas prices. But somehow that did not plunge us into recession. I mean, we had slower growth than the U.S. during those years, but we did not go into the recession. So I'm curious now, where do you see where we are now, our region? So suppose, for example, that, you know, with the energy transition and, you know, suppose oil and gas prices went down on a similar scale as we've seen in other oil busts in the past, what would be the impact? Would we have a severe business cycle, very different from the nation? How do you see our performance in that kind of scenario?
You know, when you look at the evolution that's occurred, clearly, I mean, in the 15, 16 oil bust, even if you focus in on Houston, the slowdown was more acute. You know, you could argue the metro experienced a very brief, mild recession during that time frame. But Houston did not experience anything like the type of dislocation and job losses that it saw during the 80s oil bust, despite the fact that that oil bust or even the oil bust that occurred during the pandemic in scale was comparable to what had been experienced in the 80s for the industry specifically. And I think what it means is that, you know, we are not going to be as tied to fluctuations in the price of oil the way we used to be. That fluctuations in the price of oil, they're still going to matter more in Texas than in the rest of the country, but it's not going to be the defining feature of our economic outlook. We are more and more and more what is, you know, happening in the broader economy of the United States tells us a lot about what's happening here in Texas. And I think that where we are today is we're a state that is still, you know, deeply oil and gas, and it is going to affect us, but it's not likely to have the same type of grip on our economy that it had in the past.
Jesse, does that mean that it also, suppose oil and gas prices were to soar again, does it work in the other way as well? So if, you know, we wouldn't be as hurt by a bust, but we also wouldn't be as helped by a boom?
Certainly, you know, in the near term, it's fair to say, you know, if over the next like 10 years, if oil prices go up sharply, yes, it'll benefit us, but it's not going to be boom time for the state overall.
That makes sense. Hey, Jesse, thank you so much for joining me today. And thank you to all our listeners. Be sure to tune in next time to Southwest Economy Podcast.
The Southwest Economy Podcast is a production of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. The views expressed are those of the participants and should not be attributed to the Dallas Fed or the Federal Reserve System. Join us again when we explore growth, dynamism, and economic change in the 11th District on the next episode of the Southwest Economy Podcast. For more information about what's happening in the region, turn to southwesteconomy and dallasfed.org.